28th chapter is where we'll be reading from this morning. If you'd like to go there with us for a few minutes of time. I said I won't be before you long today, but I do want to thank God for what I have felt in my heart this morning already. And I believe that God has got more in store for us if we will just listen to his word and reflect on this very precious day that we celebrate this morning. Matthew 28, starting at verse 1 down through and including verse 7. 28th chapter of Matthew, starting at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And stop reading at verse 7 this morning. I'd like to take our thought from verse 6 and 7, where, if I could summarize it today, the angel instructed them, gave them guidance to come see and then go and tell. Come see and then go and tell is our text today. For 33 and a third years, many had seen the miracles that Jesus performed upon this earth, the many miracles that he performed. Everywhere he went, wherever there was a need, Jesus was there to fulfill that need. Many of them that were lame were able to leap, as Ray instructed us from Sunday school this morning, and many of them that were blind, their eyes were opened to see, and the deaf ears were opened. The tongue that was held was loose, and they were able to speak. But that's not the reason why Jesus came. Many of them saw the miracles, and everywhere that they went, Jesus and the disciples, everywhere they went, it was foretold about the news of what Jesus did in the previous town, or maybe the town over from there. And people were encouraged because the miracle worker was on his way. The miracle worker, the one that had touched all these lives and even cast out demons and evil spirits. They were all made whole and able to get away as Legion was there in the cemetery. He no longer had to dwell in the cemetery. He could go to his house. Or as the lepers were cleansed and they no longer had to dwell amongst the dead, but they now got to go home to be with their family and friends. Everything he did was well publicized. It was all publicized and told and shared. And Bible readers this morning, you know that even oftentimes Jesus would say unto them that received the miracle, "Go and tell no man." But as soon as they got close to somebody, they opened their mouth and said, "Oh, come and see a man." As the woman at the well that said, "Who told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" And the others that went into town, Jeff sings a song every once in a while that says it like this: "If you don't believe my story, ask the blind man. He saw it all." Oh, some of y'all didn't get that this morning. They knew him as the blind man, but after Jesus touched his eyes, he was no longer blind. It's just like us today that are saved.
Once Jesus saved our soul, we are no longer lost and undone, but we are saved by the grace of God, and we are forever thankful that today the tomb has been found empty. Amen. When we look at all the things that people would come and see and then go and tell, in the 27th chapter, it says that there was many that gathered there that day, on a day that Satan thought, we're going to do away with this man called Jesus. And in the 27th chapter, in the 33rd verse, you remember prior to this, they had gone through the six trials that we talked about on Wednesday night, and three of them being religious trials and three of them being civil trials. And I found it to be very interesting that the religious trials all said guilty, guilty, guilty. But when he went before the civil trials, it came back innocent, innocent, innocent. But the crowd cried out for a man to die. And the king or the pontiff said unto them there, we have Jesus and we have Barabbas. Which one do you want to have released? And they cried out, release unto us Barabbas. But what shall I do with this man called Jesus? And they cried out loud, Ray, crucify, crucify, crucify. So he went through all the trials. He went through the beatings and the scourgings. He went through them smacking him upon his face and saying, if thou be the Christ, tell us, prophesy, who what was that smote you upon your cheek? They took off his robe and put on a robe of mockery to shame him even in front of his own followers and believers. This is King of the Jews. But the king had no court. He had no one to honor him. But yet, it went on to the point to where they led him up to a place called Golgotha. That is to say, the place of the skull. And I'll paraphrase this morning because you know the story. They took his hands and they drove the nail through what we say is the palm, but really come up a little bit. And then they took his feet and overlapped them, and they drove the nail into his feet. Then they took that cross and they lifted it up and they dropped it down into the hole that had been dug and the impact of it hitting the ground. The pressure being on those nails that held him there. But can I preach this morning? It wasn't the nails that held him there. It was the love for a dying sinner. Men and women that would die and go to hell. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He hung between the heavens and the earth. And when they came there, because Passover was at hand, to break his legs, to expedite the dying process. And some of you may say, Roger, the preaching is very graphic this morning. It's not near as graphic if you've been there. When they came to break his bones, his legs, so that the dying process would be expedited, they came to where Jesus was at, and he'd already yielded up the ghost. He came in perfect, and he left perfect. Hallelujah. Not a bone in his body shall be broken, was the prophecy. The crucifixion was not something new. It was something that the Romans had mastered. Thousands and thousands of people had been crucified, but never a man was crucified like the one they had on the cross on that day. All the others went to a grave and was buried. Or they left them out there for the fowls of the air and the varmints to come, the animals to come and to devour their bodies. But this man was different than all the others. This was not just Mary's son. This was the Son of God. Hallelujah. All the others, their bodies went back to the dust from which it came from. But Mary's precious little lamb would not face that same fate for eternity. You see, the crucifixion is something that they did to try to eliminate our Lord. But as we sang that song there, Jesus would say, "For this cause came I into this world. This is why I came." And I could have called more than 12 legions of angels to come and set me free. But I stayed here for your benefit. Those that are saved this morning, he did it for us. Those of you that are lost this morning have never called Jesus Christ your Savior. He did it just for you as well. Every one of us that is saved today, we once sat in the same place where you're sitting at. How many of us remember being lost and undone? But hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He didn't leave us there. He brought us all the way to victory through the blood shed at Calvary's cross. Some would say the crucifixion was just a path that Satan used to try to do away with our Lord. Isaiah prophesied 600 years before Jesus went to the cross that he would give his life as a ransom for our son. David would say, "Wait a minute, Isaiah. 1,000 years before he came, I told him." In Psalms 22. But then I hear God to say, "Oh, both of you got it wrong. Go back to Genesis, the third chapter. 4,000 years before he came, I said, 'Satan, you may bruise his heel, but he shall bruise your head.'" Amen. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus bruised Satan, and he bound him, and he put him in that place where he is to stay until he be released and bound forever in hell and destruction. He saw the crucifixion. But the Lord wasn't there to tell them, "Come and see the crucifixion." But he said, as in our scripture reading, you need to come and see where he lay and know that he is not here, but he has risen. And go and tell quickly what you see. The first witness to the resurrection was none other than an angel. You say, "An angel?" Yes, go if you would into the scripture, and you'll see that it was an angel that come, Terry, and rolled the stone away. Mary and Mary Magdalene, as they was going toward the tomb, and the other in the book of Mark, it says, and Joanna that was with them and the other women, they went there to anoint the body of Christ with spices. On their journey, church, listen at this. They said to one another, "Who shall roll the stone away?" Oh. As they got closer, Rachel, they could see from a distance the stone had been rolled away. Some might say the angel came and rolled away the stone so that Jesus could get out of the tomb. I believe with all my heart, and I'll preach it to you this morning, before the angel rolled away the stone, Jesus had already gotten up from the dead. He was no longer dead, but he was alive. He had the power to lay down his life, and he had the power to raise it up. He'd already been resurrected. The angel did not roll away the stone so that he could get out. He rolled away the stone so that we could look in there and say he's alive. And he's alive forevermore. They got there. And I need to turn over real quickly to many of them that saw the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. Many of them today, Mary Magdalene, who had a past, God forgave her and gave her a future. Oh, that'll preach, won't it? How many of us had a past and God forgave us and gave us a future today? And the world, those women, Mary, his mother, as Becky sang that song, can you not imagine the pain and hurt that Mary went through? God, how could you give me a son and then let me watch him go through all this pain and agony, be crucified? And her son in that song said it like this, Mom, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. I'm going to make all things new. And then the Bible says that there was some, you know, there was an apostle that ran with Peter, and that other apostle, John, tells it like this. The other apostle outran Peter. Peter and John come there. They had to see for themselves. He's alive. That was the confirmation that the women needed on their testimony, Bray. Peter and John said, I went to the tomb, and sure enough, it's empty. His grave clothes are still laying there. It's like he just somehow got up and never disturbed the grave clothes. Oh, some of y'all didn't get that. See, when Lazarus was brought forth from the dead, they had to loose him and let him go. When Jesus got up from the dead, he didn't need anybody to loose him. He got up. And then the Bible says in the book of John, the 10 saw him, and then the 11, and then the 7 that was there on the second Sunday. And then Jesus told them, the 11, to go meet him in Galilee on a certain mountain, and he went there. And then the Bible says that there, in the book of Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 5th verse, that there was the 12, including Matthias, who was a new replacement for Judas, who had betrayed our Lord. And then at one time, there was more than 500 brethren that saw he's alive. And then James, the Lord's brother, saw it. And then in the 15th chapter and the 7th verse of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, all the apostles saw it. And then Paul said, wait a minute. I saw him as an apostle born out of due season. You say, when did Saul see him? You remember he was on the road called Straight. He was headed down to town to persecute some more Christians. But on his road, he met one that was dead and is now alive. He met one that, when he called his name Saul, Saul said, Lord, Lord. And I want to tell Saul, Paul, hold on a minute. Because I too was on a road that led down to hell and destruction. But one day, on a Saturday night at an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled Bible-believing church, the preacher preached about Jesus Christ. Did you know today if we preach anything else, we ought to be tied up and thrown out of the church? The preacher preached about Jesus Christ, and the best thing I ever did do was when I stepped out behind the pew and I walked down to an old-fashioned altar and I bowed down upon my knees and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. He's no longer dead to me, but he's alive today. He said, come and see and go and tell. You see, Jesus did all of that just so he could show Satan, you can't hold me down. You may kill me, but you cannot hold me down. Because on the third day, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. But I'll rise again. And while he was in the grave, church, oh, he took word back to Isaiah and David, Moses. He took word back to Joshua. He took word back to all the judges and all the Old Testament major and minor prophets. He took word back to them, every one of them that died in faith looking for the Messiah to come. Can you hear them? They're locked up in prison. And here he comes with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And the keys rattle and the doors open up. And the dead come alive today. Because he that was dead is alive. And he has the keys over death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives, you can live also on this Sunday morning. Paradise got emptied out. Every one of them. I believe today, and you can just say, Roger, you got a vivid imagination, but I believe in paradise, when they heard the rattling of the keys coming down the corridor, they were shouting in paradise. Amen. How many of you know today we ought to be shouting in the house of the Lord because of the goodness that Jesus did to us? Yes, I may go to sleep, but I'll never die. But I'll rise again on that day when the Lord comes in the clouds of glory. Folks say that he's dead. Your God might be dead. But Sister Teresa, my God died. But he was victorious and he is alive forevermore. I'm not looking for a Messiah to come. My Messiah has already come and bled and died. And because he lives, I can live also in Jesus Christ. You say, but you did not see the empty tomb. I did not have to travel, Billy, to Jerusalem to see if the tomb was empty. In fact, and I didn't come to preach against it this morning, but I'm not so sure where they say is the tomb of Jesus is the tomb of Jesus. Some of you. Bear with me now. I'll give you some Rogerisms, but I'm going to preach this morning as well. Not so sure. Because you see, his tomb had a stone rolled in front of it. In fact, if that is the tomb, they had to unbury Joseph. How many of you know Jesus only borrowed it for a few days? He said, this is just Roger. When he got up, he said, here you go, Joe. Here's your tomb back. Right. When you die, they can bury you in there. And if we went back years later, you know what we'd find? Joseph's body still laying there. Right. Jesus is the only one that had the power to lay down his life and also resurrect his life. The only one. And because he's alive, you know what he said? He was the first fruits of the resurrection. How many of you have belief and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior on a Sunday morning? Some of you don't want to say, man, you're afraid I'll preach too long. Let me tell you what. Every one of us has got a promise. I'll not leave you in the grave. But I'll come in the clouds of glory, and that one that on that day you'll get up, and the graves are going to burst open, and there's going to be shouting on these graveyards. Most graveyards have pouting taking place. People crying and weeping over their loved ones that's gone on. But on that day, pouting's going to be turned into shouting. Amen, amen. Help a preacher preach on a Sunday morning. We're not going to get up wondering if we're going to go to heaven. I'm going down and I'm getting up the same way. I'm going down with Jesus Christ and I'm getting up with Jesus Christ. I'm going to die, but yet I'll never die. I'll live again for all eternity. Because he lives, we can live also. And Jesus said, just to show you that I'm alive, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send you someone who will testify of me. I said it just a few moments ago. I did not have to travel over to Jerusalem to see if the tomb is empty or not. Right. You say, how do you know it's empty? Because the Comforter revealed it to not my eyes, but to my soul. Right. The tomb is empty. And today the Comforter is what comes to show us the things of the Word of God. And not just show us, but to reveal to us the truth. How did I know I was lost? It wasn't the preacher necessarily that was standing behind the pulpit. It was the Holy Ghost that God sent through the midst of the church that came to where I was at. And he showed me I was lost. And that all the questions. How many of you had questions when you was under conviction? This might help somebody this morning. When I was under conviction, I wondered, how do they know this is real? How do they not know that somebody is just working it up? One person gets started and then somebody else joins in. Church, can I preach this morning? You and I cannot make up this stuff. This is higher than us today. How do they know heaven is real? How do they know hell is real? You see, we're living in a time when people today will denounce that they don't believe. They'll say, I don't believe that there's a place called heaven and there's not a place called hell. We just live and then we die and that's the end of it. You better ask the rich man what he saw when he died. You know what he said? In hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw that poor beggar that sat outside his gate just begging for scraps. The rich man ended up poor, and the poor man ended up rich. Amen. Oh. The Comforter came, and they saw the power. I've never traveled to Jerusalem, but yet I believe. How many of you believe Jesus died? Amen. Help me close. How many of you believe that he not only died, but he was placed in a borrowed tomb? Amen. How many of us believe that he arose on that third and appointed morning? Oh, if Christ is not risen, we're all still lost and in our sins, and we're headed to a devil's hell. But praise God, I come bearing good news this morning. Not only did my Savior die, but when they came there and they saw the empty tomb, they ran to tell others. And the church has been trying to tell people for generation after generation, he's not dead, but he is alive. You ask me how I know he's alive? He lives within our hearts and within our souls today. You see, seeing is believing. Thomas said, y'all might believe it, but I'll not believe it unless I see the nail scars in his hands. And I want to touch his side. I pointed to my left one. Let me get over here on the right side. I want to see his side that was pierced. And when he saw it, he believed. I did not see the body. I did not touch his side. But I had enough faith to step out believing that Jesus did die and he arose, and he arose just to save a sinner like me. And Thomas said, you know what? Now that I've seen it, I believe it. How many of us today would say, Thomas, I agree with you. Now that I've seen it, I believe it. If you never see it, you won't believe it. Let me go back a minute. They said, come and see. If you ever see that the tomb is empty, you will believe it. Through a spiritual eye, you will believe it. And you will tell others about the good thing that Jesus Christ has done for you. Let me give you a little bit more and then I'll close. You see, all the prophecies of the Messiah to come, the virgin birth, his sinless life, even his vicarious death, and the empty tomb itself would have no power without a resurrected Savior. Oh, that's, some of you didn't get that this morning. In fact, let me just put it like to you this way. If Jesus did not get up from the dead, this whole book is a lie. This whole book is a lie. But let me tell you, this book is the truth from cover to cover. every page, if you'll read between in there, you know what you'll find? You'll find the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed as an atonement for your sins and for my sins today. And we don't just celebrate it on Easter Sunday. No. We ought to celebrate it every day of our life. When I die, I get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. When I leave this world, I've got a better place to go. But yet, Brother Wayne, while I'm here, I tell you today, I would not want to try to live a day without Jesus Christ in my life. You know why? Because He walks with me. He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. I need that kind of comfort. I need that kind of consistency and also that type of lifting us up and ensuring us today that, because there are sometimes, Christians, we're high on the mountain. And then there's times that we are low in the valley. But I'm thankful even in the valley, I find the rose of Sharon. I find the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. I find my Savior even in the valley. And He guides me and He leads me. And you say, but He's dead. Yours might be dead. Mine is alive. And without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no heaven to gain. You say, Roger, why do you say that? Because look, John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And look at this. And if I go, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, there you shall be also. Did you know this morning, I'm in heaven. Some of you say, you're standing right before us. My soul is as much in heaven right now as it is the day that I leave this world. His Spirit connects with my spirit and lets me know. I need that reassurance. How many of you need reassurance along this journey? He lets me know that He not only was alive, but He's still alive. And He'll always be alive. While Robin Sharon gets us a song of invitation this morning, on this Easter Sunday, there would be no better day than today for you to make Him your Lord and your Savior. And there's no better day if you have been saved, mom and dad, young man and woman. You know that you're saved beyond a shadow of doubt. This would be a fine day for you to make your way down to an altar and ask God to restore His fellowship back with you. It would be the best day for you to get your family right with God. Amen? Because you see, as I talked with Teresa and some of you others before church this morning, our families are starting to fall apart. Family just ain't the same once mom is gone. Family ain't the same once dad is gone. Family gets dispersed. And I often tell you here at the church, you are my family. Because I see you and we have more in common than some of my own natural family. But I know that any day now, any one of us could leave this world. And if you die without Jesus, all of His work through the crucifixion, being placed in the tomb and the resurrection will do you no good whatsoever if you die without Him. You say, but I believe in God. John 14, verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. You say, I believe in God. I believe in heaven. You know, even the very demons believe in heaven. But once you're dead, it's too late. You better get in while you have life. And I would encourage moms and dads today, if you love your children, the best thing you can do is teach them about Jesus Christ and get them in a good Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church where they can learn and grow. And when they come to the age of accountability, they can too step out and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, next to my own salvation, the best thing I've ever witnessed was that of our children being born again. And I preach this morning because it's important. In all you're getting, you better get Christ. Because you could succeed. I bragged on all these college grads and these others that have new jobs and their career path is just exploding. I bragged on them, but let me tell you. You could accumulate all kinds of earthly wealth and still die poor.
Amen.
Still die poor. Or you can get Jesus and let Jesus bless you. Now you say, if I get saved, does that mean I got to be poor my whole life? No. I know some people that God has blessed very richly. Amen. In fact, I know a few of them that are millionaires. You say, Roger, if I get saved, will God make me a millionaire? Connie and Ernie used to sing a song that says, I'm a happy, happy millionaire. My treasure is not here, but my treasure's laid up in glory land. How many of you got treasure laid up over there? Yes. I'm going to leave my kids a bunch of debt and a bunch of junk to go along with it. While my soul is resting in the arms of God. It's another reason to shout this morning, ain't it? Let me close by saying, He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And He's alive forever. Through all eternity, He's alive. How do I know He's alive? The Spirit revealed it unto us that He is alive. And we believed it. We stepped out and we received Him. And ever since that wonderful day, if you go with our text, we've been trying to tell others about the Lord. You say, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. It don't matter what your title is. Every one of us has got the commission to take our testimony to others. That they might also believe. You know, Ray, you was talking about Paul this morning, how great he was. And Peter that was there and they saw him. Let me close with this final thought. Ray said something in Sunday school about Paul being great and Peter was great. Paul, he could just pray over a handkerchief and they could take it to people and they could be healed. Peter says, I got you, brother. Let me tell you, I just walk by and people see my shadow. Oh, some of you didn't get it this morning. They just see my shadow. Peter been with the Lord. See, when you've been with the Lord, you've got power. Whether you pray over it or you just walk by. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I ask you today, will you step out and receive Him on this Easter Sunday morning? Receive Him. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you, like I was, I tossed and turned on my bed when I was under conviction because I was afraid I was going to die before I got saved. And if I did, I would go to a devil's hell. But you see, when I stepped out that Saturday night, all that fear has gone away. There's been a lot of things Satan has tried to tell me over the years. Some of the things he'll tell you is that you really didn't get saved. And sometimes he fought me hard with that. But then I just took him back to the feeling I had when I gave it all to the Lord. and that burden was lifted. While we sing a verse of a song, why don't you step out on this Sunday morning and let Jesus save your soul? It's important this morning, mom and dad, young man or woman, it's important. Don't die without God. Don't face eternity of rejection in a place of hell. Some have told me if I go there, I'll just go there with my friends. There are no friends in hell. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If I go there, it's just going to be a big party. No parties in hell. The celebration will be in heaven around the Lamb of God and the throne. Follow your heart today. You don't want to die without Jesus Christ. You don't want to die without Him. Yes, you can live with Him without Him, but you can't. You do not want to die without Him. You don't want to die today. Come on home. While they pause for just a minute, while the church is praying, church, there's folk this morning that they have not believed the report that Isaiah talked about. They've not believed the report that Jesus both, that not only did He die, but He rose victorious. They believe that there is a heaven, and they certainly want to go there when they die, but they just never accepted Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said? I am the way. No man can come unto the Father except through and by Him. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to go through Jesus. There's no other way. Mom and dad can't take you there. They used to preach when I was younger, you can't go in on mom's skirt or daddy's shirt tail. You've got to come in for yourself. You can't go there just because you belong to a church. You can't go there just because you was a good boy or a good girl, a good mom or a good dad. You can live your whole life and be a great person here and still die and go to hell because you neglected the most important thing, and that was to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. While Rob sings one more verse of his song, I plead with you and I beg with you, through the by the Holy Spirit, why don't you step out and receive the Lord as your Savior? Receive the Lord as your Savior. Or come and get rededicated if you're in that situation this morning. You need to follow your heart right now. Follow your heart. Mercy and grace just for you and just for me. Come on home today. Come on. Take that step. You need to know Jesus. And He's offering it to you today. No cost. He paid the price. It's just you stepping out and believing. And you shall be saved. Oh, sinner, come home. God bless you. I've preached my heart to you this morning, and yet our heart is broken because folks should have stepped out and got their lives right with God. That's between you and him. And I just hope that he'll pass by your way another time and give you that same invitation before it is everlasting too late. Let me give you just a couple of announcements real quick. One is there's no service tonight. Two is on May 7th. Put this down on your calendars. It's Maddie's graduation party, University of Cincinnati. And we're looking forward to a good time of celebrating with her. Church, we ought to celebrate with our young people, our middle-aged people, and our old people, right? Whatever accomplishments they have obtained on this journey. So remember that. And I just want to say, did y'all notice we got some folks here this morning that I ain't seen in a tie in over a year? Got one here. Look at Jack. Look at that boy. That young man. Look at him there. And you single girls, take your eyes off of him. He's engaged. And then look at Glenn over there. Yeah, he's got his tie on. And these young ladies all dressed up. And we appreciate God's goodness on each and every one of us. And today we look forward to hearing you come back and tell us, I didn't step out on that Sunday, but I did step out and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. May not be here. You see, it's not important where you get saved. It's important you get saved.
Amen.
Amen. And we want you to get saved by the grace of God. I forgot. Where is Jeff? Step out here, Jeff. I want them to see you one more time. He got one up. Oh, he got the jacket. Look at that fellow. Look at him. And if you did not notice, Tara and Hope and Jeff, they're all in blue. They're the blues today. And we love each and every one of you. Appreciate you. And be much in prayer one for another. Remember our services on Wednesday night at 6:30, next Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, church at 11, and then church Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We invite you to come back and be with us each and every time that you can. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy this day, and then give God the praise for it as you go through it. God bless you today.